Letters pop out from a white background, then turn red. Netflix. A single drop of ink lands on a sheet of paper and morphs into a drawing of a tree. The logo for Treehouse Pictures. A Netflix original film. A Treehouse Pictures production.
Jessica, the phones!
Jonathan, cancel my 10 o'clock!
Connor, get in here. Connor!
Bring me my lunch!
What's my password?
Rachel, where were you? Were you in the bathroom?
Title, Set It Up. A montage of various executive assistants at work.
Hey, what's your face?
A young woman jumps up from her desk. Next, a woman in a restaurant.
No. I said no onions. I said onions were fatal. As in, if there are onions, I will be killed.
I know it says do not duplicate, but my boss says do duplicate. And right now, her rules supersede the state of New York's.
Well, guess what, Janet? I've got a master's in sociology and nothing else to do today. So put me on hold as long as you want, because I'm not hanging up until his seat is bumped to first class.
More assistants perform various tasks for their bosses.
I am coming!
Hi, Tammy. He wanted me to let you know that he's breaking up with you and he needs you out of the apartment by 6 tonight.
Can break up with me? I want to talk to Richard. Get that asshole on the phone.
A urine sample.
Get this to my doctor. Better still be warm when it gets there. And ask if it's contagious.
Later, people pour out of office buildings heading home. Then, nighttime. A young woman looks down on the traffic and pedestrians from an office window in a high rise.
Save yourself.
She steps away from the window and wanders through a deserted office. She picks up an orange ball from one of the cubicle desks and tosses it from hand to hand as she walks. She bounces the ball on the floor. She arrives at her cubicle and sits at her desk. A well-dressed woman appears in the doorway.
Are you trying to starve me?
No.
My bones are eating themselves to stay alive. Order me that thing that I like from that place with the gay waiter, the closeted one.
So we are doing a second dinner.
Make sure that this is at 10,000 steps before Yavuz gets here tomorrow. I do not want him to think that I was not working out between sessions.
She straps on her boss's fitness tracker.
Got it.
Then she makes a call while jogging around the office.
Oh my God, I've been holding for so long. Yes, the truffle mac and cheese, the kale salad, and a hamburger. 45 minutes? Is there any way it could be 5 minutes instead? No? That's fine. I'll be here for the next 45 minutes. I'll be here forever.
Now, outside a private club, a young man paces back and forth on the sidewalk. A large stoic doorman stands behind a velvet rope. The young man addresses the doorman.
Just waiting for my boss. Rick Otis, he invented Shark Tank, Forbes 40 under 40.
Doorway areas for members only.
Yeah.
The man takes out his cell phone.
Just gotta call my girlfriend.
Thanks, Suze.
She's very pretty. Suze, baby. Rick's working a little late at the district club.
No. Can I just
he sees a bald man exit the club and throws his phone against the wall.
How'd it go? You gonna invest?
I'll invest in that company when they figure out how to dip their dicks in ink and write the Japanese symbol before shit.
The assistant hands him an open bottle of juice.
Do the thing.
Think of seared cod, some melt-in-your-mouth uni, buttered carrots, mashed potatoes, or crispy onion rings.
He opens a car door.
Okay.
I will see you tomorrow.
Hey, what are you talking about? You're coming with me back to the office.
Oh. Should I order you some dinner?
Of course not, man. I just had my juice. What's the matter with you?
I know, it's just sometimes you end up wanting dinner.
Shut my damn door.
Meanwhile, the female assistant returns the fitness tracker to her boss.
So, tomorrow, we're going to post the Alex Morgan profile in the morning and the Belichick interview in the afternoon.
Hold the Belichick interview. Josh is writing like he's still at the Post. The lineup is about the story behind the score. I need fresh eyes for a rewrite. Did you return my blue jacket?
Yes. And after a two-hour-long commute to their warehouse and a very intense conversation with their saleswoman that ended with both of us in tears, I got you a full refund.
I want it back.
Absolutely.
What else?
You owe RSVPs to a few parties, Polly's wedding, Annie's baby shower, Bridget's baby shower, Alice's son's birthday. You RSVP'd to Jane's wedding, but they just need to confirm you're okay with sharing a room with Helen since you're both coming alone.
Do they need me to confirm that I'm going to spend $1,000 a night to share bunk beds like kids at sleepaway camp?
No.
This site is less than a year old. I can't be expected to attend every friend of a friend's kid's third birthday.
Of course.
So decline every invitation and send a $200
gift. $200
gift. And there should be three times as many story ideas by now.
Well, I might have a story idea.
She stops in her tracks on her way out. She turns around and faces her boss.
Actually, it's not fleshed out or anything. I haven't cracked it, so.
Oh, good. So you're telling me it's bad before I've even heard it.
It's this thing called the Jerry Olympics. It's an Olympics for senior citizens. And they have races and ping pong and Nerf basketball and weightlifting. I mean, yes, people think it's silly. People think it's silly, but it gives them something to live for. And a lot of them were athletes who never even got a chance to, like, to live their dreams. It's just sometimes I get emotional over sports, just how they can provide your dinner. Which I'm gonna go get right now.
The male assistant and his boss enter an office building.
What's my tomorrow like?
I moved your lunch to A. Fiore's. Kiki wants to set up a time to go over divorce papers.
Okay, you can tell Kiki she can light herself on fire.
If she calls or...
Look, you tell her she don't divorce me. I divorce her. And then call my lawyer and tell him to counter-serve her for serving me.
I don't know if legally...
What is this? I hate it.
This is your son's science project. That's a fun play on when life gives you lemons, because I'm using lemon battery to power.
The boss walks away. The assistant follows him into his office.
Where's my dinner?
Did you want dinner? Because you just...
The boss stares at him.
No problem. Coming right up.
In the lobby, the female assistant.
I order from you guys like three times a week. You know that I'm good for it. I literally have three credit cards. I can write you a check?
It's cash only.
What if I told you I could pay you triple tomorrow?
Cash only.
What if I told you this face was just a mask and I'm actually a 100-year-old gypsy who will curse your family for generations?
Cash only.
The male assistant approaches while talking on the phone.
Does it serve saffron-infused Kobe beef, cooked medium rare?
I go up there and ask for cash, so my only two options are for you to help me out or for me to finally commit a felony.
Hi. Whose food is this?
It's mine.
You have 3132, it's all yours.
I have cash. I have so much cash.
No, no, no. Hey. Okay, that's my boss's dinner, and if I'm not upstairs in the next 2 minutes with that food, I will get fired. Can I borrow some money?
No, because now this is my boss's dinner, and if I'm not upstairs in 2 minutes, I'm gonna be fired.
No, you won't. Look at you. You'll just swoop in with your lacrosse stick and your fraternity connections, and you'll keep getting promoted for no reason. I need that food.
$32, keep the change. Thank you.
Is this happening to me? I will not forget this.
Whatever.
Wait, sir, sir.
She chases him.
There are two dinners, one for me and one for her, so we could split it, okay? I can take one to my boss and you can take one to yours, please. This is DEFCON 5.
You know DEFCON 5 is a good one, right? So when everything's safe, international travel's fine.
DEFCON 1, you know what I mean.
What are the meals?
Okay, I'm gonna take her. The truffle mac and cheese, and you can have the burger.
Are you insane? I'm not gonna give him a plain hamburger. It's a man of taste.
Okay, I'm gonna fix this, okay?
She opens the food containers.
See what I'm making? It's a truffle cheeseburger with kale. This Burger Goodwin Awards. Pickle is my dinner.
No.
What?
I'm not gonna give him a truffle cheeseburger without a pickle.
He takes the food and walks off. She follows.
I want to be paid back tomorrow. 8% interest, liquidity preference.
Do I look like somebody who can afford interest? I steal my toilet paper from the office bathroom.
Well, you should really learn to keep cash on you.
You should really remember to order dinner before everything closes.
You know that pickle? That aforementioned pickle? That wasn't for my boss. That was for me.
They get into opposite elevators.
You're a monster.
As the female assistant exits her elevator, her boss enters it.
Oh, hi.
I'll need you in here a half an hour before me tomorrow.
Okay, what time would that be? Do you want your food?
The doors close.
Okay.
Later, the male assistant runs down a sidewalk carrying a bouquet of flowers. He arrives at an apartment door and rings the buzzer.
Hello?
I'm here.
You took too long. I'm in bed.
Okay, perfect. I'll get in with you.
I'm already asleep, baby.
I can wake you up with my penis. Not with my penis, obviously. You'll be fully awake when it touches. You know what I mean.
I have an early shoot tomorrow, and if I don't get 8 hours, my face could be puffy. Can I call you in the morning?
Yeah. Sweet dreams, princess.
You can wake me up.
A homeless man.
With your penis.
The assistant walks off. Now, at home, the female assistant drinks a beer as she watches a football game on a laptop. She smiles and wipes tears from her eyes. Then a couple enters the apartment.
You're up! Oh my gosh, hi! How was your date?
Oh, it was good. He's in my room right now drinking Gatorade to recover from our vigorous lovemaking.
Nice.
Really?
No, I worked too late. I didn't make it in time.
Oh. Dude, loved Kirsten's article about Cleveland fans. I sent it to like 10 people.
He did.
Wasn't it awesome? How was the party?
Gilbert was there. I haven't seen him since...
She does some hand gestures.
Since she had sex with him in the handicap bathroom on the Acela?
You told him about that?
No, I could read it from your elegant hand code.
I tell him everything, Harp.
Yeah, if we had to avoid every guy she's ever had sex with on some sort of public transportation, we'd never leave the apartment.
Shut up.
Do you want a glass of cold water?
Yes, I would love it.
Okay.
I
love you so much.
Thank you. Love you, Mike.
I love you, Harper.
He's such a... God, I love him. I love you. I gotta go to bed.
Sweet dreams.
Night.
Harper's roommate leaves.
Get in it!
What?
Harper runs into the bedroom.
No way!
And sees Mike on one knee.
I said no. I'm kidding! I said yes! Ah!
Oh my God! We're not old enough to get married, though.
What?
Congratulations! I'm so happy for you.
She hugs her.
Oh my god!
I love you, Mike.
I love you, Harper.
Harper gets stuck between them as they embrace and kiss. She extricates herself and leaves the room.
I just want to spend the rest of my life with you.
Are you kidding me?
Oh my god! I'm so excited.
Now, the male assistant comes home to a dimly lit apartment. He drops his keys and takes off his jacket on his way to the kitchen. He unbuckles his belt and takes off his pants. He opens the fridge.
Hey, buddy.
What? How long have you been there?
Just sitting alone in the dark?
He enters the living room and turns on a light. He sits on a couch facing his roommate.
Do you have a guy over?
Why do you always assume I have a guy over? Not all gay guys are having sex all the time.
Don't you have to teach in a few hours?
I can't sleep. I'm setting up this art show for this kid in my class. He lives in a homeless shelter with his mom, so I think he's good enough to get into one of those magnet schools.
Well, today I get a waiter fired for dripping condensation on Rick's pant leg. So, I also feel good.
You know, when you get promoted, you could be one of those rich guys that donate school supplies, you know, so you don't feel so bad about yourself. We love that guy. We make him a card every year.
A guy exits a bedroom and approaches the roommate.
I'll call you later.
You better.
Okay, technically this time, I did have a guy over.
Now, morning. The male assistant sits at his desk just outside his boss's office door. He scrolls randomly through his cell phone. He overhears a conversation between two men sitting in the lobby nearby.
Jim Martin's leaving. He's gonna be a VP at Sequoia Capital.
Are you serious? Yeah. He's jumping associate and going right to VP?
Yeah, it's Rick, dude. He knows everybody there. If you've got his stamp of approval, it's the golden ticket.
But Martin's barely 30. I mean, we're talking to you, dipshit. Go get Rick a smoothie.
I don't get Rick smoothies.
He's on a juice cleanse.
Now, at Harper's busy office, Kirsten walks with an older man.
Paying student athletes is such a hot button issue. You couldn't back off a little bit? I mean, you're implying we're getting rich off the backs of poor kids.
We're not implying it, we're proving it. Your AD bought a $2 million boat last year, and your star player is on food stamps.
Kirsten, we are all a big, happy family here. We've always liked you. And we really like what you're doing here, but don't try to make a name for yourself by burning bridges.
I sent you that article as a courtesy. I'm not changing a word, but I will send you the link when it is live.
Harper jumps out of her seat and approaches Kirsten.
Kirsten, it was incredible. I feel like.
What are you still doing here? Where's my lunch?
I'm gonna go get it right now.
A bullhorn.
Tell me something I don't know.
Now, the male assistant delivers a file.
Are those ETFs you asked for?
He checks his phone. There is a photo of his girlfriend's cleavage with the caption, "Your friends miss you."
Intern?
My name's Beau.
I don't give a shit.
It's just, it has fewer syllables than intern.
You're gonna cover Rick's phone, I'm gonna get lunch. Huh. All right, don't pee, don't zone out, don't sneeze. All right, just cover his phones, try not to exist. Do not ever, ever connect his ex-wife.
Do I tell him if she calls?
Yeah, yeah, and then you're gonna slather my dick in ink and you're gonna use it to write the hieroglyphic for the word no.
Okay, I don't know hieroglyphics.
I'm sorry, that was way over the line. But no, don't tell him. Go.
He makes a call.
Baby, do not put on any more clothes. I'm coming over.
He dashes up a staircase to Rick's office. Bo is holding a large box of files.
What happened? I think he's upset about this.
He shows him an invitation.
Ex-wife.
Kiki Otis is a... Oh, that makes sense.
Spiritual non-legal commitment ceremony? You showed him this?
You didn't say anything about his mail. It's non-legal.
Rick?
Rick throws a chair at a window.
What is this? Bulletproof glass?
Where's Pencil Dick?
I feel like I'm Pencil Dick.
You're fired. Charlie, take his work. I don't ever want to see Pencil Dick's face again.
Charlie takes the box of files.
Pencils can be all lengths and girths, so the joke's on him.
Now, Kirsten with a female colleague.
Obviously, you're talented. You don't have to keep convincing us. Why don't you start by taking out all the adjectives?
Thank you so much.
Anything for a Dartmouth grad. Anyway, it's late. Get out of here.
The young woman stops at Harper's desk.
You are so lucky to work for her.
I know.
I reached out to her through the alumni magazine, and she responded right away, and now she's gonna be my mentor. She's amazing.
She leaves. Kirsten comes to the doorway.
Harper, I'm gonna take a nap. So just wake me up at midnight. Oh, but don't startle me. Play a lullaby or something, then just slowly increase the volume.
Okay.
Harper sits at her desk and looks at her computer monitor. She sees a post-it note which reads, "Pay pickle fee." She grabs the note and heads out. Charlie is in an office boardroom collating files. Harper enters and taps him on the shoulder.
Hello?
Holy shit!
Here's your stupid interest. There you go.
What are you still doing here? Are you like a janitor or something?
Do I look like a janitor? No. I work for Kirsten Stevens.
Who?
The sports reporter from ESPN.
Okay.
She got Roger Goodell to admit that he'd seen the video. You don't know her?
They walk.
She broke the Penguins concussion protocol story that literally changed the NHL.
But what are you doing here?
I can't leave until she leaves. And she never leaves. So I'm always the last one here.
I'm always the last one here.
No, you're not.
Well, even when Rick's not here, I'm here.
Kirsten keeps a cot in her office.
Rick keeps a Tempur-Pedic cot in his office. It's like the Tesla of cots.
Kirsten's like if Miss Piggy and Voldemort had a baby and that baby had low blood sugar and hadn't had sex in a year.
Don't talk about babies having sex. What's wrong with you?
They arrive at Charlie's desk.
Do you want some?
He opens a bottle of scotch.
Rick throws away any liquor that costs less than $200.
We're at work.
It's almost midnight. Grow up.
It's been so long, I have the tolerance of a fetus.
Later, Harper watches a video of Kirsten interviewing an athlete.
It's a tough loss, but putting it behind us. Looking forward to the next game.
Yeah, the third glass is still bad.
If you could watch the ball as well as you're watching my tits right now, you guys could have made it to the playoffs.
I want to have an article on her site someday.
Oh my God, would you look at this?
Charlie shows her his phone.
Suze gets invited to all this cool shit. I miss all of it.
I miss everything. It's been so long since I've been to a party or made out with a guy. I don't even remember how. It's like my tongue has atrophied. When my mom was my age, she had me.
I've never even had a boyfriend. Here.
She passes him the bottle.
But you're like a grown-up.
Take that back.
And not even like a camp boyfriend?
I'm gonna end up like Kirsten. Like buying $1,000 throw blankets and sleeping with my computer.
See, that's why she's so mean. She's sleeping with a laptop. She needs to get laid.
She needs to be made love to.
Well, Rick needs to get laid.
The two of them are always in this office. Let's just lock them in a room together so they can have sex with each other. Think about it. We Cyrano them out of the office, and then when they're boning, we're free.
Well, I don't need to be free. I need to be promoted.
All I care about is that I'm not still an assistant when I'm 28 years old. That's when it gets really sad.
I'm 28.
Oh, my God, I'm so sorry. For you. That's very sad for you.
Should leave.
Bye.
She rolls away on her chair. Next, Harper sits up in bed. She gets up and goes to get her laptop. Later, carrying the laptop, she shows up at Charlie's desk.
I made something.
What? Why are you so quiet? You move like a Prius. What is that?
It's a spreadsheet of everything I know about Kirsten. What she likes, what she doesn't like.
I have no idea what this is for.
To set them up. For our Cyrano.
That was a joke.
But it doesn't have to be. What's Rick's favorite food?
The filet from If You Worries.
Where will he be at 3 p.m. today?
His son's school play.
Hey, Charlie, what does he hate?
Jeff spelled the letter G in sour cream.
We know everything about them, what they like, what they don't like. We control their entire schedule. We are the men behind the curtain. We can get them to do anything.
Charlie looks at the spreadsheet.
This is very thorough.
Thank you.
Absolutely not.
What?
This is insane. I barely have enough time to do my actual job.
He stands up.
And if Rick ever found out, he would fire me.
He would never find out.
Charlie puts on his jacket and heads out.
Charlie, this could save us.
Sorry, I gotta take my girlfriend to lunch.
Should I send this to you?
Please don't.
Now, in a school auditorium, Charlie sits in the front row.
Oh, Suze,
a tall brunette, approaches him. When he leans in for a kiss, she turns her face and he kisses her cheek.
I thought we were getting lunch.
Excuse me, are those two seats taken?
Yeah, I'm sorry they're taken. I know, we were.
They sit.
Just Rick needed me to save his seats. I mean, son's the second lead.
Rick's son flips Charlie the middle finger.
I thought we could do like a theater picnic.
He shows her a basket.
Yeah, you look amazing. Had the dingo this morning.
It was good. I booked that Old Navy campaign.
That is incredible.
Look, I'm gonna be traveling so much, and you're already so busy.
I'm not busy.
I don't want to be with a guy saving somebody else's seats. I want the guy whose seats are being saved, you know?
She stands up.
I think we should
stop. No!
Charlie jumps to his feet.
Look, I know this is annoying.
A woman sits in Rick's seat.
I would lay my life down for these seats. If you can't say the same, move on. We can make this work.
Excuse me.
I'm about to get promoted. My schedule's gonna be so much easier. Okay, then our seats are gonna be saved. I promise.
They both sit back down. Rick arrives.
Hey.
Hey, Dad.
Hey, I like the beer.
You got me any seats?
Yeah.
Now you're gonna have to get me a masseuse. 3 centimeters from the stage.
What's wrong with you? I'm gonna mess up my neck.
Rick looks past Charlie at Suze. She glances at him, then leans on one elbow, looking bored.
Mom's here.
Holler.
Later, Harper washes dishes in the office kitchen. Charlie comes up behind her.
I'm in.
Harper turns around.
When they're boning, we're free, right?
Later, they walk outside carrying trays of coffee.
All right, where could they be? I mean, Rick's usually at the district club.
Okay. Could she run into him there?
Yeah, sure. She can just run into him. After she's been nominated by 2 current members, 1 former member, approved by the board. Also, it's a sex change, because technically women are allowed.
Okay, I get it.
All Rick cares about is winning. So we just gotta make your boss seem like a business deal or a softball game.
All Kirsten cares about is her site, her brand. It's like her baby.
She shouldn't have a real baby.
How dare you? But yes, I do think that's a huge part of it. We need a meet cute. great romance has a meet cute. Like getting stuck in an elevator or something. But
why don't we just get him stuck in an elevator?
Because how would we do that?
You don't know Creepy Tim?
In the building basement.
A succulent.
A maintenance worker holds a small potted plant.
Can you grow plants down here?
Oh, no. They just slowly die.
He happily sniffs the flowering plant.
So, buddy, we wanted to shut down the elevator for a few minutes so two people could fall in love.
Charlie, the only thing I love more than love is love in enclosed spaces. And succulents. And you already gave me one of those, so my answer is yes.
Later, Rick enters an elevator. He presses the button marked L. Harper joins Charlie and Creepy Tim in the basement. They observe on a monitor.
Falcon 1 is headed to the NIST. We are a go for Pandora's box.
You're not in the Secret Service. You can say elevator.
He whispers to Tim.
We're a go for Pandora's box.
Copy that.
On screen, Kirsten approaches the elevators.
Oh, there she is.
Can you just stop it at her floor?
Tim types on a keyboard. Kirsten enters Rick's elevator. Rick does not look up from his phone.
Say something.
What?
Does no one look each other in the eyes anymore?
A delivery man gets into the elevator.
Whoa. Whoa. Who's this guy?
Okay, you need to go. Sir, make your way out of there.
Are you guys thinking what I'm thinking?
Call it off.
It's go time.
Tim stops the elevator.
What the hell?
Wait, what did you guys say?
Delivery man.
Oh my God, no.
Can you start it back up?
Tim restarts it.
Thank you, God. Oh, I'm extremely claustrophobic. That would have been bad.
You work on a truck.
Just let it go, Rick. Let it go.
Your job is to ride elevators. How are you claustrophobic?
I usually take the stairs, but today was a really big day for me.
Okay, let's not make it any worse.
The elevator stops.
Why did you do that?
That wasn't me. I think this might be an actual system malfunction.
Tim clicks the keyboard.
Oh my God.
This has never happened before. Oh, irony. Fickle queen.
The delivery man puts down his packages.
Yep. This is how it always starts in my nightmare. Here we go. All right, we just all need to calm down.
Kirsten.
What are you doing?
Harper.
What is he doing?
The delivery man is taking off his clothes.
Stop doing that, please. Stop that right now.
I need to
stop
be that. Free of this.
The heavyset man is now shirtless.
Okay, the pants are off. I'm calling the firefighters.
Oh, I'm calling the real police.
Okay, this button is specifically designed for this type of emergency.
Exactly. We want the actual emergency response team, not the jack-offs assigned to the elevator squad.
No, maybe we can make a rope.
You're not going to get any service. It's already ringing.
Rick clicks the button off.
Excuse me?
Look, if we press it at the same time, it'll confuse the system.
It was already ringing.
I gotta pee. I'm gonna pee.
If you pee, I will end your life.
This is stress incontinence. That is a real condition, and you are not helping.
Well, I'm gonna listen to my body.
Charlie.
Oh.
Don't pee.
Pee.
Do not pee in there. Do not pee in there.
It's too late. I'm dripping.
Kirsten and Rick look away, disgusted, as he urinates into the box. Charlie, Harper, and Tim look horrified as they watch on the video monitor. The elevator lurches and starts moving. When the doors open, Kirsten and Rick rush out, covering their noses and mouths. A blonde woman approaches the elevator, then sees the undressed delivery man and stops.
Hello.
Tim.
I'm not great at reading rooms, but even I can tell that was a huge success.
It was okay.
Are you kidding?
That was a disaster. They hate each other.
Hate we can work with. Hate is not the opposite of love. Do you know what the opposite of love is?
Ice.
Indifference. Well, that's also very true, Creepy Tim.
People call me Creepy Tim?
No.
I love it.
Later.
Your dry cleaning's in the car, and I forwarded you Jeff's itinerary for the Simone Biles profile. Okay. Oh, and also, apparently some guy you were stuck in the elevator with asked security for your contact info.
Was it the delivery man?
No, some big shot who works in the building. I guess he has a crush on you or something. But don't worry, I told them we do not give out your number. Okay?
Harper leaves Kirsten's office. Kirsten gazes out the window. Charlie walks with Rick.
I heard you got stuck in an elevator with that sports reporter lady.
Kirsten Stevens. I knew I recognized her from somewhere.
Kirsten Stevens. Yeah, I think Mark Cuban is thinking about investing in her site.
Charlie sits at his desk and busies himself. Rick looks thoughtful, then heads into his office. Charlie makes a call.
Okay, I did it. What now?
Does Rick have good Yankees tickets?
No. He watches from the bleachers like a common peasant.
Yeah, of course he does.
Later, on a street outside the baseball stadium, Harper is wearing a Yankees jacket and hat.
Charlie?
She runs over to him.
Hi, I'm so sorry. So sorry. I got here so early that I thought I had time to dig around, so I went to that gift shop, then I lost track of time, and suddenly I was late.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. That is not a real thing.
Yes, it is. It's the over-dick around thing. I over-dicked it.
Why are you wearing that?
Because I'm going to a baseball game?
Charlie wears his work suit.
Why are you wearing that?
I'm not on the team. Why would I wear the jersey? I don't wear scrubs to the doctor's office.
I'm gonna go get nachos.
She heads off.
I've made a mistake.
He turns and follows her.
What are you doing? Come on!
They cross the street and head towards the stadium gate. Inside, Harper approaches a man wearing a Yankees employee uniform.
Bobby!
Harper!
Okay, I need a favor. We need the people.
She gives him a note.
In these two seats right here to make out.
What do they look like?
One is a stunningly beautiful woman with dark hair and a fierceness that's both scary and inspiring. The other is a guy.
You know I can make this happen.
You could.
Now the game is underway. Harper and Charlie have seats very high up in the bleachers. Harper looks through binoculars.
So Rick's here. If you see the U, he's right above the U.
You have a telescope so I can see him? How seats this far back even legal?
These seats are the best. There's a community up here. And you can see the whole field. And oh, there's Dennis.
Yeah, hi, sweetheart. How you doing?
Dennis is the one who introduced me to the Jerry Olympics. He's a heavy weightlifting champ.
Was he benched negative 10?
Hey, I heard that, you little piss hand. I'm old, I'm not deaf. Is that your boyfriend?
Absolutely not, Dennis.
Good.
Now batting for the Red Sox, number 16, Andrew Benintendi.
On the field, a pitch and a hit.
Let's bring him down there!
I'm gonna take a picture of you. You post it on Tinder. You know, guys love girls who like sports.
Are you kidding me?
They do.
Guys think that they like girls who like sports. What they actually like is a girl in a very tight sports jersey serving them wings and getting the terminology wrong. Guys like girls who like guys who like sports. Okay, got it?
Kirsten is here.
Oh.
On the other side of the stadium, they see Kirsten approaching her seat. More action on the field. Then Kirsten takes her seat in the row behind Rick. He looks up from his phone.
Hey.
Oh, hi.
It's a weird coincidence.
Charlie.
Here we go.
I hope you took the stairs.
How else would I get here?
No, I mean, because nobody peed.
She points to her cup.
Yeah.
He notices that she is watching the aisle.
You here by yourself?
Yeah, I'm supposed to meet a colleague.
Yeah, me too, an investor. I guess he's stuck in traffic.
A batter swings and misses.
Come on!
Rick smiles at Kirsten.
You're welcome to take this seat until my colleague gets here. It's the best seat in the stadium.
Actually, it's just the most expensive seat in the stadium. From where I'm sitting, you can hear both coaches better. But you're welcome to sit here until my colleague arrives.
Single down the right field line, and the Yankees score a run.
Thank you.
Rick gets up and goes to join Kirsten. Harper.
Oh, yeah! That is what I'm talking about!
All right, Yankees fans.
Oh, my God.
It's just
come on.
All right. Look, it's Kirsten and Rick. I told you we'd find them.
All right. Come on.
Some indecisiveness. No need to be shy.
No, we're not together.
They sip their drinks, refusing to kiss.
They're not going to kiss.
We're waiting. Share the love.
They were nervous. They gave him a little bit more time.
I know.
How about you guys?
The kiss cam moves to two men in the crowd. They kiss.
That's the spirit.
Now what's the problem?
Who are you?
For a different reason, all right?
Who's next?
Two more couples kiss on the jumbo screen. Then, the camera returns to Kirsten and Rick.
And back to our first couple. Care to reconsider? Last chance.
No, okay. Oh, kiss, kiss! It's the law!
Kiss,
kiss, kiss, kiss, kiss, kiss!
Rick gives Kirsten a kiss on the cheek, prompting a chorus of boos.
Why?
I don't know. She was sent him popcorn or something.
And a kiss from her.
The camera moves to a boy kissing his mother on the cheek, then back to Kirsten and Rick.
Yes!
Rick gives in to the pressure. He kisses Kirsten. Harper and Charlie jump to their feet and cheer with the crowd. On the field, the batter hits the next pitch. Later, Charlie and Harper walk down a sidewalk. Harper looks at her phone.
We have no emails.
Well, it's hard to bark orders when your tongue is down someone's throat. We are free. The world's our oyster.
We're free. I'm gonna sue.
You too.
They high five.
Are you taking the?
Taking the four.
Kind of wasted high five.
They both head down to the same subway station. Later, nighttime. Harper is sitting up in bed, eating from a bag of popcorn that is hanging around her neck. She is perusing Tinder on her phone and swiping every photo to the left. She stops on a photo that she likes.
Hello.
She types a message.
Any sports moments make you cry?
She eats a handful of popcorn. Now, in a nightclub, Charlie is on the dance floor with Suze. The next morning, Harper rushes into the office, her arms full of packages and coffee.
I'm so sorry, Kirsten. The 3 train stalled, but then there was a new barista and she didn't know the milk chocolate theme.
Kirsten is not at her desk. Harper answers a call from Charlie.
Rick's still not here.
Neither is Kirsten.
What if a psychopath saw them on the kiss cam and followed them home and murdered them? Legally, where are we in that scenario?
Please, I have watched enough Law & Order to know that we are absolutely 100% no doubt about it.
Rick arrives.
I could use some coffee. Would you mind getting me a flat white?
Would I mind? Be my honor.
Kirsten arrives.
Harper at my office.
Harper grabs a notepad folder and a coffee container and follows Kirsten into her office. She places the coffee on her desk.
Spent the night with a man. The man you spent the night with? Hmm? Oh, wow. That's amazing. You get it, girl.
We did not sleep together. We did everything but. I'm not the kind of person who sleeps with people on the first date anymore.
Right.
I guess it had been a while, longer than I realized.
I don't think they should hear that.
Harper closes a sliding glass wall.
The waiting was almost tantric.
What?
I mean, even when he was being gentle, I could sense a possibility of strength in his touch. Kind of like when Coco is petting that tiny kitten. Just like petting, petting.
Kirsten is lost in thought.
Let's bullhorn.
She suddenly jumps up and marches out of the room.
Okay, tell me something I don't.
I did not know that.
Later, Harper approaches Charlie.
Charlie, Kirsten just left.
So did Rick. It's daylight.
I know. Okay, I'm getting out of here before Kirsten comes back, and this was all, like, some terrible prank. I have a date with some guy that I messaged last night, and we're gonna go mini-golfing.
Oh, that's a terrible idea.
Why is that a terrible idea?
Now you have Dave Matthews' concentration face.
No, I don't.
I saw you write cursive one time. Go, have fun. Let him win a few holes.
Excuse me, I only have one hole.
Oh my God, I meant it golf.
So did I.
Next, Charlie is at home chopping vegetables. His roommate arrives.
Hey, you're home before me. Did you finally quit?
No, I got up early. Making Suze some dinner.
So, Suze is coming over. That's nice.
Why'd you say it like that? Why'd your voice go up?
She sucks.
What?
If you take away her face and her boobs, you kind of realize she's not really saying anything.
That's the most heterophobic thing I've ever heard in my life. You just don't know her.
Well, how well do you know her?
I know everything about Suze, all right? We talk all the time. I text her all day.
Like?
She's from Puerto Rico. She's a model. She uses La Mer products. She doesn't like dairy. There you go.
All right, well, what do you do if you want to have, like, a intimate, meaningful conversation with somebody?
I talk to you.
That's not what I'm for. That's what your girlfriend's for. She's supposed to be your best friend.
That is ridiculous. You're my best friend. I've never even pooped at her apartment.
Well, whose fault is that? Should've did that the first date. Market territory.
At the mini golf course, Harper and her date.
I don't have health insurance, but Gronk got wasted at her Christmas party.
You seriously have the dream job.
Well, Kirsten has the dream job.
I love Kirsten Stevens. That's so cool.
Yeah.
Wait, what was she like?
She's great. She's great, really.
Yeah.
And she's so smart and hardworking and inspiring.
Inspiring?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Here we go.
Let's do this.
Harper prepares to take a shot. She catches herself making a face, then she swings and misses.
Didn't go.
You're not letting me win to boost my ego, are you?
I want to destroy you. I'm just trying not to make my concentration face.
Oh, no. Why don't I just stand behind you and you can make whatever face you want?
It's okay.
Okay, cool.
Okay.
Yeah.
He moves behind her. Harper sticks out her tongue and prepares to putt. Her date playfully pokes her with his club.
Oh, my goodness.
Well,
I sure hope that was your golf club because it felt extremely small. That was not the right thing to say.
Harper putts. The next day, on her desk monitor, she receives a text from Charlie. How was the date? She replies, perfect. We couldn't stop talking. He replies, lame, with a thumbs down emoji.
Harper?
Mm-hmm?
My phone is broken. The voice messages aren't coming through.
Oh, really?
Harper tests it.
It works fine.
There is something wrong with it!
Oh. Okay.
She sends a text to Charlie. Rick needs to call Kirsten ASAP. Next, Rick and Charlie enter an elevator. Rick is focused on his phone.
You know what's crazy?
I don't care.
Just how different dating is nowadays.
Why are you still talking?
Just, you know, we used to have to wait 3 days to call, but now women think the longer you take, the smaller your penis.
Rick stops typing and looks at Charlie.
Get out.
This is an elevator.
Get out.
Kirsten's desk phone.
I've got it!
Hey there.
Charlie.
Please hold for Rick.
At her desk, Harper smiles as she watches Kirsten take the call. Next, Charlie listens in on one of Rick's conversations.
Now I'm seeing this badass bitch. She's a journalist.
Good. Dating's so much better now. Everybody's sexting and waxing.
Yo, and Kiki, she never shaved just to punish me. I mean, if I see any hair on a woman, I'm out. See ya.
Next, Harper meets Charlie in an elevator.
So?
Kirsten needs to get a bikini wax.
Oh, okay. Hello to you too. Excuse me?
Just tell her to get one. You're girls, you talk about that stuff.
Oh, right. I forgot that every morning I walk in, I hand her latte, and then we talk about Merkins and the cyclical popularity of the full bush.
It's a Merkin.
It's a pubic hair wig. A wig for the pube region.
You know, I missed the time when I didn't know what that was.
Later, Harper delivers a file to Kirsten.
Okay. Yeah, tomorrow morning you have that salon appointment.
What? What salon appointment?
For the bikini wax.
Bikini wax? When did I make that?
You made that ages ago. It's just like an annual checkup, general upkeep.
What salon?
The one you told me to make it at?
Exhale. Bliss?
Exhale. She's gonna clear out the bush brush, and just make it as smooth as a baby. I have a baby. You don't need one of those, the babies, or the bush, the brush.
Kirsten points to the door.
I have so many calls.
Outside, Harper walks with Charlie.
But if we hadn't have intervened, Rick would have called her too late, and Kirsten's lack of waxing would have turned.
turned him off, and then there would have never been a second date.
Okay.
You can't just kick them out of the nest because they're baby birds and they're careening to their deaths. We have to actually Cyrano them.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Totally. I mean, that's what, you know, we've been doing up to now. That's now what we should continue to do.
You do know what Cyrano means, right?
Yeah, I'm not an idiot.
So what is it?
It's when, so like with like two assistants are setting up their bot. Okay, I don't know what Cyrano is.
I've said it like 14 times.
I know,
times.
I thought I knew what it was the first few times you said it, and then it was just too late to ask.
It's when a nerdy guy helps a handsome guy date the girl that he loves by telling him what to say and what to do.
That is not what we're doing. We're full on parent trapping.
No, we're not.
Okay, I think I've seen the Lindsay Lohan classic enough times to know that we're full on parent trapping hard.
Charlie, the point is we can't just set them up. We have to help them keep dating.
Next, Kirsten receives flowers at her desk. She reads the card and smiles.
Don't know what it is that makes me love you so. I only know I never want to let you go. 'Cause you started something.
Harper high-fives the air. Then, Rick receives a gift wrap bottle. He smiles when he reads the card. Charlie pumps his fist. Next, Charlie and Harper shop for dresses online.
Yes, that one. He's an ass man.
Charlie waits outside Rick's club.
Mr. Otis said you can wait in the lobby.
Charlie swaggers as he enters the lobby for the first time.
Don't walk like that.
Later, Harper and Charlie in a crowded elevator.
There are two kinds of compliments to give a woman. The things she already thinks about herself that needs confirmed, and the things she doesn't think anybody else notices about her. The second kind matters more.
Next, Charlie signs Rick's name to a handwritten card. He places it into a large bouquet of flowers to be delivered. Later, Rick leaves the office.
Charlie, I'm gonna be in late tomorrow.
Charlie smiles. Kirsten also heads out.
Taking the rest of the day.
Now, Harper spends time with her mini-golf date. Meanwhile, Charlie is at home cooking. Suze joins him in the kitchen. Later, Harper sits up in bed. Her date is sleeping next to her. She smiles to herself. Later, she finds an invitation from her roommate on her pillow. Underneath the heading Becca and Mike, there's a note which reads, "My maid of honor, can't wait to celebrate with you." Now, nighttime. At a Mexican restaurant, Harper and Charlie clink water glasses.
I took a nap today. A nap?
Are you ready to order yet?
Not yet. But I'd love some more chips.
Sure.
Naps are great, but I got a bigger situation on my hands, Charlie. Mm-hmm. Becca's engagement party is next weekend. I need to guarantee that I can be there. It's really important for me, okay? Here's my plan. Get Rick to invite Kirsten on a romantic weekend getaway trip to Nantucket. There's a wine festival there next weekend, and you're gonna plant all the information and make Rick think that he thought of it, but he didn't. We did, okay?
Okay.
And then they're gonna be marooned on an island with limited cell service, which means you and I are gonna have an entire weekend to ourselves.
Perfect. Suze's modeling agency is throwing this fancy party next Saturday. I'm gonna show up, throw out some pheromones, let everyone know she's still got a boyfriend.
Don't say the word pheromones around me.
I'm sorry. I meant chemicals secreted in my sweat to attract females to my throbbing DNA.
No.
She picks up her phone and starts texting.
Is that up? What, can you just, you should probably just be a little easier on the ha-ha-has. Hmm? I mean, you find him humorous, you're not a psychotic clown.
Psychotic clown, what are you talking about?
If you really like Golf Guy, you're gonna go out with three other guys this week.
Okay, why?
You remember when you were a kid? If you had three salamanders, you played with each of them every day, and they'd live for years. But then you had one salamander, and you held it, and you loved it, and you played with it, and it just died, like, immediately?
No.
Well, men are kind of like that, you know? You put too much focus on him, you know, he can sense it, you know, and then you're gonna accidentally kill him, and then you gotta hide him in your drawer so your mom doesn't find out.
I like my one salamander. Let's get out of here.
She fakes a phone call.
Wait, we haven't even ordered yet.
Hello? Oh, no. I better get out of here. It's an emergency.
What?
Well, you know what? I was just about to order and pay
it's
for my
emergency.
Dinner at this very nice restaurant. Okay. But I guess I'll just rush straight to the hospital.
It's right now.
Thank you.
An emergency. Oh, my God. The whole leg?
As they run away, the server calls out after them.
Happen when you least expect it.
I mean, I saw your phone not ring. A crime, but we both know this isn't right.
Now, morning. Charlie happily saunters towards his desk. A printer comes flying out of Rick's office, knocking Charlie off his feet.
Why do I only have a 2D printer? What am I, a caveman? There's too much paper in here. This is the digital age.
Charlie gets to his feet. He turns on his Bluetooth earpiece and calls Harper.
I'll have you know.
My tongue is no longer atrophied.
Code red, code black, code shit.
Code red, I cannot tell what that means with code shit. I feel like that's bad.
Change of plans.
That is
I am
bad.
Not going out of town. Make sure they know the office has to be open all weekend.
Of course. Is everything okay?
Obviously, why would you even ask me that?
Well, no reason.
I'm a successful woman. I don't need to travel with a pathetic man-child who can't even feed himself.
Of course not.
Here's a riddle. Would you tell me that you love Korean barbecue even though you've never eaten it?
No.
And didn't know what it was?
No.
And if we went there, would you refuse to let me explain how it works?
Eat raw meat rather than admit you were wrong. And then blame me when you threw it up on a hot grill?
Never. Kirsten, do you want your cup? No.
Kirsten keeps marching in and out of her office.
A lot of men proposed to me in my 20s. I could be thrice divorced by now. But I'm not gonna pretend to let him teach me about how the world works just so he can get it up! He's such a jerk. I'm worried that your abrasiveness and general demeanor will hinder you in the workplace.
She closes the door in Harper's face. Rick.
You put a plate full of raw beef in front of me. I think it's tartare, and I'm the idiot? Sure. I'm sorry if I expect my food to be properly cooked whilst I sit in a restaurant. What am I, a chef? Do I got a Michelin star?
You could if you wanted to.
She did this shit on purpose to make me look stupid. This was a power play.
I don't think she was trying to power play.
Can't get the image of barbecued vomit out my head now.
Charlie cleans the office during Rick's rant.
This shitty computer isn't taking my password.
Rick destroys a laptop.
Ah! Oh, no, that's
take my password!
It's my laptop.
Well, bring me my laptop.
Harper and Charlie meet in the elevator.
How could you let them pick the restaurant?
Mm-mm. It was your turn to choose.
No, you chose last time. Damn it.
Rick is worse than before. He tried to fire a mailman today.
Oh, my gosh.
Mailmen work for the U.S. government.
We have to get them back together before they kill us. I can feel it in my bones that Kirsten is capable of murder.
All right, so what are we going to do?
I don't know. It's your turn to figure something out.
Back in the office.
Why isn't there anything in my calendar at 2 p.m.? You know I need a hard out after family events.
Oh, my. I'm so sorry. I didn't know that your lunch was with family. I'll figure it out right now.
If I pay you to make my life easier, but instead you make it harder, you're useless to me. Do you understand that?
Later, Harper approaches Charlie's desk as she sends a text.
So bad news is, Kirsten ripped me a new one. Good news is, I now have time to see Golf Guy.
Mm.
What is this?
There are Charlie. Lemons all over his desk.
Oh, my God.
This is Rick's son's science project. Life gave me lemons, and I used it to battery power lemonade.
Can you fix it?
No, it was a masterpiece, and now he's not even getting a ribbon.
Go, get out of here.
Save yourself.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Harper takes a few steps away, then she stops.
We need a whole new project. Whole new thing. Yeah.
What about Golf Guy?
I don't want to squeeze my salamander too hard. I honestly did not know that someone could do this to lemons with their bare hands.
Later, in the staff lounge, Charlie lies on a couch.
Rick was so pissed. Imagine if a duck were on meth. He was just like... kind of sounded like that duck.
Why do you work for this guy? Why don't you just quit?
Are you insane? I spent 3 years doing every shit errand imaginable. I can't quit. I'd literally have to start all over and all this would have been waste. Plus, Rick is the most respected VC of all time. So if he makes me an analyst, I can get a job anywhere.
But do you like the actual work?
Nobody likes the actual work. That's the point of a job. You do the best one where you make the most money.
Harper has gathered supplies on a table. Charlie sits up.
Okay, why do you work for Kirsten?
I work for Kirsten because I want to write the kind of articles that made me cry when I was a little girl. And Kirsten's the best sports journalist there is.
Well, has she read any of your stuff?
I haven't actually written anything or finished writing anything. My days are so long and they're so exhausting. It's like when I have time, everything I write is bad.
That is probably not true.
It is true. I think it's that I wanted to impress her and I wanted her to like me. So it's just like I worked so hard at being this great assistant and making sure she was happy that, I don't know, feels like I might have lost any writing skill I ever had.
Well, that is definitely not true. You're a terrible assistant.
Can you pass me a few of those?
He hands her some cotton swabs. She dips the swab into a cup of blue liquid, then onto a plate of milk with food coloring.
You ready?
I'm ready.
The colors spread magically into a pattern.
What?
Yeah!
Holy shit, how does that work?
Well, the bonds in the milk connect with the DNA and the... So I have no idea. I'm not a scientist.
The next day, Charlie hands Rick the new project, now called Magic Milk.
All the supplies are in the bag. Feels like a winner.
This isn't as good as the lemons.
He takes it and walks off. Later, Charlie calls Harper.
He wasn't happy, but he didn't break anything, so maybe that's an improvement.
Yeah, I mean, well, technically he's right, but given the fact that we did that in a night, I think that Magic Milk should win a Nobel Prize.
Charlie!
Yo!
Oh, my God. I think Rick's drunk.
What?
I've never seen him drunk before. He's violent when he's sober.
Charlie?
Rick dances towards Charlie, carrying a bottle. He grabs Charlie's hand and encourages him to join the dance.
Oh.
Yeah. Do it with me, white boy.
He gives Charlie a big
hug. Yeah, come here, nigga. Come on, man. Come on. Charlie, chicken and grits. You don't know that shit. You a good guy. Do you know that? For real.
What?
Rick slaps his own cheek.
I appreciate you. And I should tell you that more often. Good idea. Let's have another drink.
In his office, Rick struggles to open the bottle. He reaches for a decorative sword nearby.
Okay. Oh, no. I got it.
Charlie opens the bottle and pours Rick a drink.
I hate losing, Charlie. And she thinks I'm a loser. What should I do? You're a person. What would you do?
He hands Charlie the sword.
Apologize.
No. Next.
Tell her she's good at her job. Tell her you respect what she does. Just tell her you see her.
Ew. What does that even mean?
I don't know. I think maybe it's just what I'd want to hear.
Harper eats takeout food at her desk. She receives a text from Charlie in all caps. Drunk Rick incoming. Don't let him see you. She replies, what? Why? Rick comes marching towards Kirsten's office. Harper ducks under her desk.
Hey.
What are you doing here?
I see you.
What? What does that even mean?
I see you, like, I see you.
He closes the glass door.
Yes, ma'am.
I meant that as a joke.
You the boss.
Rick comes around the other side of Kirsten's desk. She swivels her chair.
Let's go to your apartment. I'm serious. Rick!
Harper crawls away on her hands and knees until she is all the way out the door. Now, morning. At Charlie's apartment, Charlie is on the phone when he opens the door to Harper. He is wearing a button-down shirt and pink shorts.
Charlie? I want rose petals everywhere. I need it to look like a massacre at a flower shop.
Nantucket is officially a go. They landed an hour and I put the champagne on Rick's credit card. Here you go.
Hotel room is all set. It's about to be Boner City in there.
Wow, okay.
Oh, someone say Boner City? Freaking love that place.
Harper, this is Duncan. It's my roommate. He's a teacher at a middle school in the Bronx.
Nice to meet you.
But he's gay, so keep your ovaries in your pants.
Well, I'll just shove him back in there.
Why are you dressed like that?
Getting ready for Becca's engagement party tonight.
She is wearing a dress.
What are you wearing? Where are the rest of your shorts?
What? These are cool, all right? Mm-hmm. Sue's like short shorts on guys.
Stop. Your shorts suck.
You know what? You guys stop it, all right? You're not friends.
I kind of feel like we're becoming friends.
Yeah, we're friends. Hey, do you want to come to this pool party?
No, I don't think so. I got to go home and finish writing this article to distract myself.
Distract yourself from what?
The fact that golf guy hasn't called me in a few days.
Like zero contact?
Yeah, but he'll call me soon because he said he was going to come to Becca's party tonight. Whatever. It's not like I care anyway.
Hey, it's going to be a lot of fun.
Duncan.
Free booze and hot dogs.
Oh, my gosh. Absolutely. You've convinced me. I'll be there.
Perfect. She's my plus one.
You are my plus one. I am Sousa's plus one. You're already a plus two.
So she's my plus three.
I'm his plus three.
What?
Next, they arrive at the pool party.
This is DJ Danny C kicking it live at the Gang Squad.
Yes! You see all the hot guys here?
Yeah, don't do that.
Everybody is so tan. Oh my goodness!
Look at you, you look so pretty.
Seuss wearing a bikini.
Duncan? You know Seuss.
Yeah, I heard you were coming and I still showed up. Harper?
I'm Harper.
Later, Harper and Duncan win a game of beer pong.
Stop!
Stop hugging each other. You are not friends.
We're killing it!
Charlie and Seuss stand near the pool. Duncan chats up two guys wearing Speedos.
So, do you guys know each other?
It's like Battle of the Bulge over here. It's a war zone.
Seuss takes Charlie's sunglasses off his face and puts them on her own. Harper paces on the pool deck, focused on her phone. Charlie approaches her and grabs the phone.
Hey, Charlie.
He's not going to call you, and it's not a big deal.
I slept with him, okay? I don't do that with very many people.
Duncan brings her a drink.
First guy I ever slept with came out while he was inside of me.
I really hate to be the one that has to explain this to you. That's actually how sex works.
That's not what she's talking about, bro.
He came out as a gay man.
While he was inside you?
Yeah, you know, it's kind of like you don't really know until you tried it, and then once you tried it, you really know. Wow.
Well, you know what? Golf guy wasn't like that. He was perfect.
I think your bar for perfect is really low.
We stop. You know what? We're going to play a little game called Hard to Get.
Hard to get? Makes no sense. It's evolutionarily unsound. Why would a caveman want a cavewoman who was like, go get me food, and when you come back, maybe there'll be a cave for you, maybe there won't be. Men should want women that are gonna keep the coziest, warmest caves. Men need shelter. I am guaranteeing shelter.
Screw golf guy.
I did screw golf guy. That's why I'm having this friggin' problem.
No, forget about it. I will go with you to the party. I will be your other salamander.
What are you talking about? What about Seuss?
Seuss is surrounded by men.
She should see what it's like when her cave doesn't have any fire. But I'm not the cave woman. I am still the man. Let's just go.
The engagement party is held on the roof of an apartment building. Harper pushes her way through the crowd until she finds Becca. They hug.
I'm so sorry, I'm late.
That's okay, I don't care. How do I look? That's what I care.
How do you look?
Yeah.
You look so beautiful.
Really?
You look incredible.
It's like slutty first Holy Communion, right?
Yes, exactly.
Is that golf guy?
No, this is Charlie from work.
Hey, hi, Charlie. Jedward. Nice to meet you.
Day turns into night. Ropes of tiny lights decorate the roof deck as the party continues. Becca taps her glass.
So,
As most of you know, I have dated a lot of guys.
You're here.
And I've liked a lot of things about them. Like, yeah. And then I met Mike over here, and there was a lot to not like about him. He dresses like a stepdad, as you can see. He listens to Creed.
Just their old stuff.
Non-ironically.
Okay, but they are good.
Every single time he hears a siren, he goes, "That's my ride."
This is super fun for me, by the way.
And yet, oh man, I am completely and totally in love with him. When I was little, my grandmother, she used to say, "You like because, and you love despite. You like someone because of all of their qualities, and you love someone despite some of their qualities." Mikey, I like you almost as much as I love you, and I can't wait to marry you.
She holds out her arms to Mike. Mike joins her, and they kiss.
Okay, sorry, get drunk, so I have fun stories to tell.
Wow, all the way to the top.
I don't think we need new shot glasses every time.
Thank you.
Okay, to the last penis of my life!
Harper, Charlie, Becca, and Mike drink shots.
That's my ride.
He does do it every time.
I'm still strong.
I know. Ooh,
baby. Later, Harper and Charlie on the dance floor. Harper stands with her hands on her hips, watching Charlie's elaborate moves.
You're so good at that.
It's like Bruce Lee.
I just don't even know what's going on.
All right, just stop thinking.
Nobody cares.
Let's do it. Look at all these assholes.
Harper looks around. She flaps her arms awkwardly.
Wait, just imagine you're paralyzed. And all of a sudden you get healing back in your limbs. Well, now you're just like one of those blow-up air men outside a car dealership. Yep, that's...
Charlie looks at her and extends his hand. Harper hesitates.
Don't be weird.
She takes his hand, and they start to slow dance.
What's Rick Kirsten's end yet?
What do you mean?
That, like, because love despite thing, when you know, there are all these, like, all these reasons why it shouldn't work out. They don't care. Like Romeo and Juliet. Our families are mortal enemies, and yet... He nearly gave me a heart attack. He's underneath the window. Rick and Kirsten don't have one.
Well, that's good. You know? I mean, they can't not like anything about each other. Not yet.
What you gonna do about it? But even friendships have them. Like, Becca's wild, and she drinks too much, and she's never paid a bill on time, and yet I love her. You like expensive stuff and let a 23-year-old walk all over you, and yet you're tolerable.
I do not let her walk all over me.
I'm sorry, where are your sunglasses? I know where we used to be.
All I do is keep the beat. You talk way too fast. And you are way too nice to everyone. All I do is kiss. Except me, apparently. And yet, you are a terrible dancer.
That's not how it works.
He twirls her around.
I need pizza.
Harper runs off. Next, she finds Becca at the bar. She throws her arms around her.
It was like one of those things. Hi.
Oh my God.
You're drunk.
What?
Yeah.
Me?
You.
It's an accident.
Mm-hmm.
But it was also incredibly on purpose. Angel.
Yeah.
You're the love of my life. And I'm so happy for you. There's no pizza on this roof, and so I have to go. Do you want to come with us?
I can't.
You sure?
No, I can't, but get out of here.
Love you.
Love you.
Charlie? Huh? It's time to go.
Mike.
Hmm? Ah, man. Keep it real, though.
Miss you already.
They leave. Then, a pizza delivery man approaches Becca.
Where do you want these?
Oh, you can just put them on the table.
Later, Harper and Charlie walk down a sidewalk. Charlie carries a pizza box.
You are gonna let this smell out.
I wish that box was my bed.
Next, in a stairwell.
I know this is not gonna sound how I mean it to sound. I wanna fuck this pizza.
I get it. You should never say that to anyone else. But I get it.
Charlie opens the door to his apartment, then promptly shuts it.
I'm sorry. Duncan's playing third eye blind in there.
What does that mean?
He's hooking up with a guy.
Duncan is gay?
What?
I'm kidding.
I cannot interrupt him.
Do you know how athletic I was?
Outside, Charlie climbs on top of a dumpster.
Impressed yet?
A fire escape ladder.
I'm so hungry. Too hungry.
Mm. Oh, God. Nope.
Do you need some help?
Yeah.
Oh! Harper helps him pull the ladder all the way down.
Give me the pizza.
No. I'm gonna take it up to the top.
Absolutely not. Your hands are too small.
He grabs the pizza.
Charlie!
I'm gonna hold it with one hand. I'm gonna move my way up this ladder.
What?
Like a monkey. Stop. Stop. Yeah.
He climbs.
I got this. All right.
Oh, my God.
What?
Stop. Keep the top up, otherwise the cheese will slide off. Please don't drop my pizza.
What? Just stop making me laugh.
I'm serious.
Stop making me laugh.
I'm trying
stop.
To.
Stop.
I mean it, okay?
It is in my possession. I got this.
Harper climbs the ladder.
Oh, are you okay?
I'm fine.
No, I'm talking to my pizza.
They climb in through Charlie's bedroom window.
Parkour!
Charlie turns on a light. He sits on the floor and leans against the bed.
This is the dining room.
Careful.
Harper passes him the pizza and joins him on the floor. They open the box with a flourish.
Yes.
They both stare at the pizza.
Thank God.
That looks so good.
Just choose it.
They each take a slice and start eating. They both stare blissfully into space as they devour the pizza.
This is the best meal I've ever had. In my entire life.
They look at each other.
I should probably go home.
Harper turns her attention back to the pizza.
Slice for the road?
Two, please. We'll roll it crust side out. I'm a lady.
Harper takes the slices and gets to her feet. She goes over to the window and climbs out. Charlie sits, chewing thoughtfully. He takes his phone out of his pocket. He sees that it is a call from Suze. He declines the call and puts down the phone. He takes another bite of pizza. In the morning, when Charlie delivers Rick's coffee, he finds a note which reads, C, meet me on the 10th floor, R. Next, Charlie approaches Harper at her desk.
Hey.
What are you doing here?
You two in my office now.
Harper and Charlie join Kirsten and Rick in Kirsten's office.
Charlie, this is Kirsten, Kirsten's assistant, Helga.
Harper. Hello.
Harper and Charlie shake hands.
You two should get to know each other because Kirsten and I are, well, we're getting married.
Wow.
Really?
This is great. Amazing.
Wonderful.
We're flying to St. John's. We're going to elope on the beach, sunsets, all that romantic shit. We want you two to set it up.
The us,
yes. Of course, obviously, because who else would do it?
We can do that. That's...
How come you're not writing this down like Henrietta? What's going on?
We can make all of that happen. When do you want to go?
Next Saturday.
Next Saturday?
Mm-hmm.
That's so soon.
Harper, I'm going to be gone for so long, and there's going to be so little to do in the office, so maybe this is a good time to prep that draft on the nanogenarians you were talking about.
Yes. Please, that would be wonderful. Okay.
And Charlie, I'm giving you a promotion.
What?
So when we get back, you can teach the new bastard for a few weeks and bring him up to your level.
Absolutely.
Okay. We're gonna make this legal.
You're ridiculous.
Give me some of that.
Now? Are you still here?
Yep.
Harper and Charlie leave. Once they are out of sight, they hug each other.
Oh my God!
Rick marches past them, not noticing the hug.
All right, we can work from the district club today, Charlie. Come on.
Sir?
Charlie follows Rick out. Kirsten.
So I want to throw a big party to celebrate when we're back. Invite all the usual girls. Oh, well, maybe we should have a party before the wedding. What's on my agenda this weekend?
You just have Mary's baby shower, but I already canceled that for you.
Oh, I'll go to that now.
You will?
Well, I'll finally have something that they'll want to talk about. Have a seat, Harper.
You and, okay. Oh, sorry, just, sorry.
Listen, I'm going to give you some advice. Men don't want to date you when you're beating them to a story. But I have met someone who wants me to be strong, and he likes that I'm successful. I mean, he's a goddamn unicorn. I don't know, it feels like fate. Look, I know that I've been cunty to you.
You haven't.
Don't be one of those women that can't say cunt.
I am not.
I know I've been cunty to you, and it's partly because you're young and your skin bounces back and it annoys me, but really, it's because I want you to succeed.
What do you mean?
I see so much potential in you, but you have to have a tough skin. So if I am the most awful person, when this shitstorm of an industry is hard on you, I know that you will be prepared.
Now, Charlie and Rick at a buffet.
My Chef Series A is gonna be such a disaster. We're so smart we didn't invest with them. Oh, don't forget to tell Kiki.
About my chef?
No, dummy, about the wedding and the date, 6 weeks before hers.
Oh, is she invited?
Send her a big bouquet of daisies, right? She hates daisies, with a note that says, ha-ha, I'm gonna beat you to the altar, but tonight we're gonna knock boots like we did on that Swiss gondola. Oh, and obviously,
what?
Tell Kirsten that I have a meeting or something tonight, so.
What? I just thought, I thought you were gonna marry Kirsten.
Oh, yeah, I am. Oh, which reminds me, this week go to a ring spot and get a ring so big you can see that shit from space.
He picks up a lobster tail.
Food here sucks.
Later, Harper approaches Charlie at his desk.
Charlie, you did it.
I
did it. We both did it.
What are we talking about?
She pulls up a chair and sits.
It started out kind of selfishly for us, but we made two people fall in love. We made two miserable people happy.
I thought best case scenario, they'd date for like a month, but they actually really like each other. We changed their lives. I'm proud of us. I think we did something really good.
Me too. So I was looking at the Keneal Bay Resort. They have a slot next Saturday.
Another day, Charlie walks outside. He calls Harper, who is also outside and carrying several shopping bags.
Will you come help me pick out the ring?
No, absolutely not. I gotta go to the office and drop off all these things.
Please, you're better at this than me. I need your female expertise. You know what Kirsten likes.
You are beautiful. You are charming. You are witty. You are clever.
Okay, fine.
Yes, great. And if you're already going back to the office, can you grab Rick's personal Amex that's on my desk?
Next, as Harper searches for the credit card, she hears Rick on the phone in his office.
You can send me photos like that while I'm at work.
She finds the card and puts it in her pocket.
Oh, no. Of course, I want them. I don't want to show them to a bunch of Japanese bankers.
Harper frowns. She looks at her phone calendar.
Tonight, you need to wear that red dress. Because you look so hot in that dress. concentrate.
Harper picks up the phone and listens in.
I don't work this hard on this body for it not to be a distraction. We're not married anymore, so you can't tell me what to wear.
Can we try that thing we did on our honeymoon?
Harper slams the phone down and leaves. Charlie, at a jewelry store.
But do you think you could see this from space?
Yes.
Hi.
Oh,
is this a lucky lady?
How do you think Kirsten feels about blood diamonds?
It was so weird when I got the card. I heard Rick flirting with somebody on the phone, but I think Kirsten's in a meeting. What do you think that was?
I think it probably was. He likes to leave like super sexy little voicemail for her to listen to and hear later.
He puts a ring on Harper's finger.
Kirsten likes Topaz. Do you think she likes Topaz?
Not really sure. Do you think Kiki likes Topaz? She didn't mention it when she and Rick were having phone sex.
You tricked me. That was entrapment.
You just admitted it. You lied to me. You knew.
Look, it's one time. It was a mistake. Doesn't mean anything.
After everything that we did for him.
He's confused. All right. He just needed to get it out of his system before the wedding.
The wedding? We can't still get married, Charlie.
Oh, this is for a wedding. I actually have a great selection. If I could just...
I think we're just going to need 1 minute. Thank you very much.
Yes, they can't. Harper, we can keep this from her. We control their phones, their emails. We're the men behind the curtain. She doesn't have to know about this.
You want to help Rick cheat on Kirsten?
We have faked their entire relationship. And now one thing goes wrong and it's like a crime to suddenly work behind the scenes?
No. It was never okay. But now you're willing to ruin somebody's life just so you can keep dating some boring girl and work longer hours at a job that does not matter.
Okay, whose life am I ruining? Their lives? They didn't have lives. We gave them lives.
Oh, my God. You're worse than Rick. Rick is, he's a selfish, superficial asshole, but he can't help it. You could be a good person, but you want to be an asshole. You're so obsessed with getting promoted and becoming Rick that you're choosing to be a piece of shit.
You stop pretending this is some moral dilemma. You are afraid not to be an assistant anymore.
That's ridiculous.
Have you actually written anything with all this free time we have? Anything? You actually finish one article, you just keep planning to. I think you'd rather run around getting Kirsten coffee than actually sit down and write something and find out you suck.
Harper's eyes fill with tears. The store clerk looks uncomfortable.
I'm telling Kirsten the whole truth. All of it.
Harper.
Harper heads out the door of the store.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. That was it.
You're not under arrest. You can put your hands down. We just need to get the ring off. This happens all the time. I mean, not the part where you two collaborate to, like, trick your bosses into dating each other and then it blows. I wasn't listening.
At an upscale baby shower, women mingle while champagne is poured and trays of sandwiches are served.
Yeah, that's the way it goes.
Harper enters. She sees Kirsten and approaches her. She hands her a wrapped gift.
Hey. I'm sorry to just show up.
You forgot this.
Oh, thanks. Honestly, you saved me. If I have to hear another woman talk about how much your nipples have changed since giving birth, I will kill myself. I swear to God, Harper. I walked in here with a fiancé, and it's like suddenly I'm a member of a club. All they want to talk about is when I'm going to have kids. And I'm like, you know what? First, I have to be a stepmother. I don't think that you should be a stepmother. I don't think that you should marry Rick because you don't actually like him.
Of course I do. I love him.
No, you don't. This whole thing, your whole relationship, it's not real.
What are you talking about?
Rick's assistant and I, we set you up.
No, you didn't.
We shut down the elevator so you'd meet. The Yankees game, I got you on the kiss cam. And when you guys broke up, we told him what to say. I mean, Nantucket, the flowers, all of it, that was us. We made you guys think that you liked each other, but you don't know this guy. You don't like him. What you feel for him, it's not real.
You have no idea what is real. You think you understand the intimacy of a relationship? You're 25. I don't care how it started.
He doesn't see you. He slept.
Stop. Talking. You're fired.
What?
Get out.
Now, Charlie sits at his desk. Rick approaches him.
The tickets booked?
Yes. They are. For the wedding.
Cool.
Rick goes into his office. Charlie makes a call on his desk phone.
Kirsten Stevens' office?
I know you don't want to talk to me right now, but just hear me out. Harper?
I'm covering Kirsten's desk. Can I help you with something?
So it fell down. No. Thank you. Slipped right out of my grip, and it's
broken now. Charlie sits back in his chair. Next, Harper is lying in bed. She looks at her phone, turns it off, and lies back down. At the office, one of the young executives addresses Charlie in passing.
Oh, coming to drinks later?
Charlie looks surprised. At home, Harper lies on the couch with her laptop. She slams it shut in frustration. I can only control how I react. Next, Charlie presents a report to a group of executives. Meanwhile, Harper slaps her laptop repeatedly.
Be better!
She paces while talking to herself.
This is not working.
At his desk, Charlie scrolls through his list of phone contacts. He stops when he gets to Harper's name. He hesitates, then puts the phone down. Now, Becca is on the phone as she enters the apartment.
Mom, turns out touring wedding venues is so much more fun than touring colleges because of all the, like, free food and booze. Oh, I gotta call you back. Oh, my God, it is like a tornado hit a Chinese... Hey, are you okay? Why are you not at work? Harper!
Harper comes out from under a blanket.
I got fired.
She is eating.
Really? That's amazing! Congratulations! Right?
Harper starts to cry.
You okay?
I spent so much time there. Like, and I never wrote a single article. Now Kirsten hates me, and she'll never help me. I'm bad at this. I've been trying to write the same article for months, Becca. And it's so bad I can't finish it.
She throws the blanket back over her head. Becca removes the blanket. Then she picks up a pillow and starts smacking Harper with it.
Ow!
Of course your first draft is gonna be bad. It's gonna be terrible. And then you know what you do, Harper? You go back and you make it better. But you can't make it better until you actually do it. You're not a bad writer yet. You need to stop feeling sorry for yourself and just write something bad. Yes, Kirsten was mean, but you learned so much from her. You just never had the time to use it. And now, Bud, you got the time. So get off your bony little ass and just do it! Okay, okay.
She pulls Harper to her feet.
I'm gonna write the shittiest article ever written.
Yes!
Okay?
It's gonna suck ass. I can't wait to read it.
Okay. I got this. Okay.
Harper picks up her laptop and runs into her room.
Are you cleaning this up? Are we gonna hire someone?
Next, Harper enters the Mexican restaurant and parks herself at the bar.
I am not leaving this chair until I write an entire article.
Great. That's great news for me.
Can I get some free chips and water, please?
Later, Charlie and Suze enter a fancy restaurant.
I've always wanted to eat here. This is where came through Kanye's half-birthday party.
Our best table.
A server delivers two steaks.
This is exciting.
They take their first bites of the food.
Oh my God. This is the best meal I've ever had.
Charlie looks thoughtful.
The best meal I ever had was a $5 pizza thrown up a fire escape.
What?
This sucks. This whole place sucks. It smells weird. It's far too quiet. And I mean, this steak is delicious. It is not worth $70. And you and I, we never talk about anything. I don't want to be an asshole.
You sound insane. Just eat your steak.
Suze continues eating.
Oh, if my 15-year-old self would see me right now, he would punch me in the dick. I don't want to do this anymore, Suze.
But you're my backup.
Charlie stands up. He takes a credit card out of his wallet.
You know what? Order whatever you want. On me.
He takes two steps, then stops.
Wait, what am I doing? You're not my girlfriend anymore. Give me that. I'm not Rockefeller.
He takes the card and heads for the door. At the coat check, he calls Harper, who was still working at the Mexican restaurant. She declines the call. Charlie leaves a voicemail.
Harper, you were right. Can't let him do this. I'm going to JFK. Meet me at the terminal. It's the cheap one. Don't have time. Leave me the code.
He runs downstairs to the doorman.
I need a taxi. I gotta get to the airport right now. I gotta stop someone from getting married. Flight leaves in... Well, I got like 4 hours.
At a food truck.
And we've been to Times Square. What about museums? Should we go to the Met?
I don't know. I mean, do you like stunningly beautiful art that makes you re-examine what it means to be human?
Yeah.
And yeah, the Met's worth it. In fact, it may still be open if you go right. Oh my God! I did the over-dick around thing.
He runs off. Next, Charlie enters a busy airport terminal. He spots Rick and Kirsten on an upper level.
Rick?
Rick looks down at Charlie.
Hey, did I forget something?
Yeah, you're a bastard. I don't want to be like you. I'm not gonna be. I don't want the promotion. I quit.
Okay. Kirsten, don't marry him.
A man looks up at Kirsten.
Do it, honey. Go with the young guy. Oh, no. I mean, she's a very handsome woman, just not what's going on here.
Charlie, you're fired as fuck.
I literally just quit. Kirsten, I know you don't know me, but I know you. Because all Harper does is talk about you. And even when she's complaining about you, she's really complimenting you. I know how hard you work, and I know what a badass you are, and I know you don't put up with any shit. So don't put up with his. I don't know what you think you're getting out of this, but you deserve better. You are better.
Charlie looks at his own hand.
Oh my God. Gave myself goosebumps.
He's crazy. You realize that, right?
Kirsten faces Rick.
What's my favorite food?
Your favorite steak tartare.
It's green curry, you douchetard. She likes it medium spicy from Thai Leaf on Broadway.
What's my favorite place?
Kiki, I can't. This is ridiculous. Why are we... Kirsten. Your name is Kirsten.
Squam Lake, New Hampshire, you douchetard.
Charlie, I know that you're no longer his assistant, but could you please strike wedding from his calendar?
Absolutely.
Are you being civil?
No, Kiki's short for Kirsten.
Kirsten drops her boarding pass and walks off. Rick chases her. Charlie smiles to himself. In the Mexican restaurant, Harper types on her laptop. She reads what she has written, then smiles.
I finished. The whole article. I finished it from beginning to end.
To the server.
I finished the whole thing! You, sir, are a hero and a scholar and are about to receive the greatest tip in the history of the service industry.
He smiles. She searches in her bag.
Okay, technically I don't have my wallet on me, but tomorrow...
Leave this place and never return.
I did it.
Now, daytime. Charlie sits in his living room with his laptop. He opens the door to Rick.
Hey.
What do you want?
You live here? It's disgusting.
The door starts to close.
Hold up. I'm sorry. I need some information on my wife, my ex-wife.
Like what?
He looks at his phone.
Gets her, assorted favorites, as in favorite foods.
Flowers, clothing.
Are you serious?
Look, I realize I should know this, but you used to do all this stuff for me, and I want her back.
I have an old Kiki file. I'll send it over to you.
Thank you, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. I really appreciate this.
Rick!
Ooh. Duncan arrives.
Hey, you still work for this guy?
Nope.
Duncan throws an iced coffee at Rick.
It's Soy. Nice seeing you, Rick. Bye, Rick.
They go inside and shut the door. Next, Harper arrives at her old office. It is quiet and unoccupied. She heads for her desk, carrying a tote bag and a cardboard box. She sees Kirsten walking towards her.
Hi.
Oh, thank God you're here. I can't find that piece on lesbian soccer players in Nigeria.
It's probably in your deleted folder.
Also, I can't find Julie's number.
You made me change it to Satan in your contacts.
Also, come back to work.
What?
You crossed every line ever. I genuinely considered setting you up for a white-collar crime and just letting you rot in jail. But I understand in some ways what you were trying to do. I mean, you're not an unintelligent person. I don't know how you did all this. I mean, this place is falling apart without you. Come back and do it with me.
I learned so much from you. You're my hero. But if I want to actually be a writer, I have to stop making excuses not to write. So I can't be your assistant. But I'd love to help you find a new one.
You're fired again.
Yeah, I still have to get my stuff, so this is awkward.
Have you written anything?
Have I written anything? Yes, I have. I have written some pretty much.
She digs around in her tote bag.
Right here.
Let's go over it. Tell me something I don't know.
Okay.
Kirsten starts to read it as they head to her office.
Twilight.
Yeah, but that title is, you know, it's...
No, I like it.
Like
I love
it?
The title.
Okay, I like it, too. I mean, I could like it.
This is about the geriatric Olympiads.
Later, as she leaves the building, Harper records herself on her phone.
In the beginning, people will know that she's gonna die. Let her death be a twist. Hold off until after Harry wins his first...
She stops when she sees Charlie outside on the sidewalk. He is casually dressed. They look at each other through the glass. Harper puts her phone away and heads out the door. She approaches him.
Hi.
Hi.
So what are you doing here?
Okay, Kirsten told me to meet her. What are you doing here? She's here, notice.
Yes, she.
I Googled it, so I know what it means now.
Why are you dressed like that?
I don't work here anymore. Yeah, I quit working for Rick. Starting over. 28. Actually, I'm a temp, which is technically lower on the totem pole than an assistant, which is kind of a kick in the nuts, but it's kind of cool. I get to see a bunch of different jobs. Find out what I actually like. I like you. So, so much. You're not hard to get at all. You're hard to earn. It's so much better.
You displayed a total lack of character when it mattered.
I know.
Charlie, you have the romantic and sexual personality of a seventh grader.
Seventh grader? I mean, I feel like it'd be at least high school.
You wear suits to sports games.
What?
He grins.
You're a know-it-all.
You are unbelievably bad at beer pong.
You're a sore winner, and you use too many exclamation points.
And yet,
He takes her hand and moves closer. He kisses her. She puts her arms around him. They continue to stand on the sidewalk, kissing passionately. The view moves up slowly to the city skyline under a blue sky, with a park in the foreground. During the closing credits, a scene of Creepy Tim in the basement. He sprays mist on his succulent plants. Then he looks at a security camera monitor and sees Harper and Charlie kissing on the sidewalk.
I feel joy. Maybe I love love in open spaces too.
Credits, written by Katie Silberman, directed by Claire Scanlon. Cast, Zoe Deutsch as Harper, Glenn Powell as Charlie, Meredith Hagner as Becca, Pete Davidson as Duncan, Joan Smalls as Seuss, John Rudnitsky as Mike, Titus Burgess as Creepy Tim, Leonard Oates as the elevator delivery man, and Jake Robertson as Golf Guy, with Tay Diggs as Rick and Lucy Liu as Kirsten. Casting by Meredith Tucker. Music supervisors, Evian Klein and Janet Lopez. Composer, Laura Cartman. Costume designer, Rebecca Hoffer. Editor, Wendy Green Brickmont, ACE. Production designer, Jane Muskie. Director of photography, Matthew Clark. Co-producers, Carrie Fix and Katie Silberman. Produced by Justin Nappy, PGA, and Juliet Berman, PGA. Filmed with the support of the New York State Governor's Office of Motion Picture and Television Development. Yeah!
Give me a chance. Dom, dom,
dom, darling, dom, come and go with me.
Dom, 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 dom,
baby, dom, receive it.
Dom, darling,
so come go with me.
Dom, dom, dom,
come on, go with me.
Dom, dom,
come on, go with me.
Copyright 2018 Netflix US LLC and Netflix International LLC. All rights reserved. Letters pop out from a white background, then turn red. Netflix.